Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to do something a little different tonight in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to cover just a couple of verses and give kind of a summary of chapter 4. We'll come back in and fill the spots in later down the road. Philippians chapter 4. Appreciate this music tonight. It was worth coming just to hear that. Amen. Very, very good. The theme of Philippians is joy. But more than joy, it's joy produced by being selfless. In other words, it's selflessness that produces the joy that we experience as Christians. As we said this morning, we ought to seek to be like Christ, an imitator of Christ, and love each other. And we show, and in order to love each other, we must show that love. Jesus Christ being the greatest example of love, and that He gave His life for us. As we think about, again, being selfless, and really, we were talking about at the men's advance of basic Christianity. Basic Christianity really comes down to love. It really comes down to being selfless. It really does. Christ was selfless to the core. And God is love. And therefore, we ought to, again, imitate that love. Philippians is really about how to live the Christian life. It's a psychology book of the New Testament. It's a study of the mind of Christ. Chapter 1 deals with Christ our life. And remember this outline. It's been a while. For me to live is Christ, he said, and to die is gain. Listen, for us to live is Christ. We should live for Christ and give our very best effort for Him. Do our best. Do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But to die is gain. And certainly we understand and know that. And Paul said he was in a strait between two, having a desire to part, but also to stay. And for me to live is Christ, and we should live our life for Him, dedicated to Him. Philippians chapter 2 is Christ is our mind. And Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And we as Christians ought to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is selflessness. It's being selfless. I ever said that before? I think the whole year has really been, so far, has just really keeps narrowing in on the subject of love and selflessness. Having the mind of Christ is something that you receive, not something you earn. He said, he didn't say, make this mind be in you. It's not something you go home and begin to hit yourself up against the wall, with your head up against the wall and said, I need to have the mind of Christ. I need to have the, you know, it's not something you go out and you run a race to obtain. It's freely given to us as we ask for it. And as we put ourselves in a position where God can give us that the mind of Christ, that selflessness. I remind you too, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said that I might know Him. He talks about pressing toward the mark. In other words, in chapter 3, we have Christ as our goal. Christ our goal. I'll, again, never forget the verse, pressing toward the mark. Again, it's something that we understand and know as Christians that our goal is to be like Jesus Christ, to imitate Him. That is our goal. Our goal is to glorify Him. And therefore, as Christians, we ought to learn everything we can about the person that we want to be like. If you want to be like someone, then you're going to imitate them, then you need to learn everything about them. If you wanted to be like, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you'd go back and you'd study his life and learn everything about him, and then you would imitate Abraham Lincoln. You know, the little stovepipe hat. I'm just kidding. If you want to be like Christ, then you ought to learn everything you can about Him. This is how you do it. And as we read the Word of God, as we learn more about Him, when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. As we look into the Word of God and we see Jesus Christ and we look into the mirror of God's Word, we are changed into that very image by the Spirit of God. What image? The image of Christ. We've been taught ever since I was a little kid that every page bleeds the blood of Christ. And as we read it, we ought to be looking for Him. As we come to church this morning and tonight, we ought to be attuned to wanting to see Christ fresh and new. And as we look at Him, as we see Him, We are changed into that very image. God is working on us. What? To conform us into the image of His Son. All the things we experience as Christians, all the trials and the victories, are there to conform us to Jesus Christ as God works on us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. It's sad that I can remember all the songs when I was a kid. But I can't remember some of y'all's names, but I can remember every song. They're just stuck up there. You would not believe this morning, teaching on love, preaching on love, how many songs went through my mind. And I'm sitting there, which one do I want to choose from? It's crazy. It really is. But He's working on us, conforming us in His Son. And it's natural for us to, you know, to buck when we have something bad going on in our life and to question and all those things. But we must remember that everything works together for good. And then if there's no rain, there's no growth. If there's no storms, there's no growth. Thank the Lord for the rain we've had lately. Man, and the tanks, the ponds are getting full and the lakes are getting full. And we have to have the storms. They're there for our good. It's hard to... I want to turn to Romans chapter 5 like Brother Davidson did at the deal, but I won't do it. Christ is our goal. That's what we're working towards. Teenagers, our goal is to be like Christ. To be like Him. To press toward the mark. By the way, he said, not that I've attained. Paul said, not that I have attained. Listen, we won't attain it till we see Christ in glory. But we are striving for the mark. We're consistently striving for the mark and pressing toward the goal. Christ should be and ought to be the Christian's goal. I hope tonight that He is your goal. If He's your goal, then you ought to read about Him. Learn everything you can about Him. Paul said that I count all things but loss that I might know Him. All things but dung that I might know Him. He said, I count all things but sewer, rubbish, that I might know the Lord Jesus Christ. First things first, to know Jesus. And lastly tonight, we're going to cover this subject. Christ is our strength. Christ our strength. Paul said, if we are to have Christ as our life and Christ our mind and Christ as our goal, it's going to take the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish that. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. Christ our strength. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Familiar passage, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I wanted to take tonight just to summarize chapter 4 and challenge you tonight. Again, Christ is all in all. He is everything to me. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? What a Savior we have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for tonight. We thank You that families can gather together with the parents and the children in here tonight. I pray, Lord, that the message would be a challenge to us, a reminder to us on how great that You truly are. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that just for all that You've done for us. Bless tonight. Help me to be very clear and precise. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ is our strength. Paul encouraged us to live outwardly and inwardly as Christ would have us to live. In other words, our goal is to be like Him. Our goal is to live for Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, he tells us how to reach the goal. You realize in the Old Testament, God said to the children of Israel, there at Mount Sinai, there the earth was quaking. There was a dark cloud upon the top of the mountain. There God was talking to Moses out of the burning bush. And the Bible says it thundered and it lightning. And God was calling out the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the children of Israel could hear God trumpeting out those commandments down at the bottom of the mountain. And it scared them. They were very fearful and afraid. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And on and on and on. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. When God was finished with that, Moses comes down. And of course, we know the golden calf fiasco. But he also, there's a question there that's asked. Will you, as a nation, keep these commandments? And that it was asked a couple of times, actually. And the children of Israel said, yes, we will keep them. Yes, we will do this thing that God has asked us to do. And instead of falling on their faces and saying, oh, we can't keep the Lord's commandments, they said, yes, we'll keep these commandments. And God said what? If you keep the commandments, I'll bless you. If you break them, I will curse you. I will curse you. I'll withhold the rain and so forth, right? So there was a blessing for keeping the commandments, and there was a curse for breaking the commandments. I want to ask you a question. What gave the children of Israel the power to keep the commandments? There wasn't one. The Holy Spirit did not abide in people in the Old Testament. I'm challenging you tonight. 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul says it's much better to live in the New Testament than it was the Old Testament. Far more glorious to live in the New Testament than the Old Testament. There is a reason. And it's not just all the bloody sacrifices that they had to go through and all the ceremonial law and all those things. It was that they did not have the Holy Spirit abiding in them. And when they were asked to do something and they said, yes, we'll do it, it was in a sense very fleshly because they had no resources to accomplish the goal. I know they had their own motivation, but our own motivation fails. And by the way, we see that in the children of Israel. As they tried to keep the commandments on their own, they failed, and they did it for a while, and they failed, and they did it for a while, and they failed, right? Because we can't accomplish being like Christ. We can't accomplish being conformed to the image of Christ. Can't do it on our own. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. I can do all things, what? Through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can only accomplish, we can only live the Christ-like life as we rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that lives within us. It is the Holy Ghost that empowers us, enables us to live the Christian life. It's the Holy Ghost that enables us to witness to someone. It's the Holy Ghost that enables us to defeat that sin in our life. And in the Old Testament, they only had willpower. They didn't have, personally, they didn't have God's power. But we do. And inside of you, that spirit that was quickened and made alive, the Holy Spirit now lives and abides in you and enables you, empowers you to live the Christian life. If you try to do it on your own, you'll fail. And we do fail from time to time, don't we? And we have to go back and say, you know what, I'm relying upon myself again. Lord, help me. Help me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it is God which worketh in us both to do and to will His good pleasure. It's God who works in us. It's God who works in us. I cannot reach the goal of being like Christ unless it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just encourage you tonight? As you walk throughout the week, as you start your week, we started our week today, and by the way, you started on the right foot. Amen? As you go to work in the morning, pray, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. Because the flesh won't get it done. It's the Spirit that will get it done. Help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh. And then abide in Christ. Abide in Him. Rely upon His strength. And when you want to retaliate against someone who has done you wrong, man, rely upon the strength of the Lord. When you're thinking about losing your temper, rely upon the strength of the Lord. Then, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ, absolutely, the Bible says here, that Paul says, that God will supply all of our needs. It is God who does the work. As we think about, and I've already mentioned this before in our study, but if we're being challenged by Paul, and by way of Christ, being challenged to live a selfless life. Paul said in chapter 2, he said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And if we're looking out for others, and we're putting others in front of ourselves, then who looks out for us? You may ask the question, well, if I'm putting others' needs in front of my own needs, who's going to take care of my needs? And Paul gives it to you. God will supply your needs. You take care of others. You live a selfless life. You be kind. You be gentle. You supply the needs of others, and God will supply your needs. Well, preacher, why don't we give all this money to missions? Why are we sending all this money? We if we're selfless and we give, God will take care of our needs. God will take care of our needs. And if you are selfless and you are giving, and all, God will supply your needs. God will supply all your needs. Spiritual needs. We preached on Philippians 4:19 before, several times throughout the last 14 years. God will supply what? God will supply your spiritual needs. He saves us. He saved us. I'm glad He saved me. By way of His life, His death, and His resurrection, I'm saved. I escaped hell. I have a home in heaven. He certainly supplied my need of salvation by the blood that He shed on Calvary. He supplies my spiritual need. He gives me strength to live for Christ, to be conformed to the image. He supplies the spiritual need. I won't go over that one again since we just covered it. But He supplies strength to live day to day. And as we are assaulted on a daily basis, again, we used the illustration here a while back that we need to be ready and to live for Him because we are assaulted daily. It's kind of like the sand there in Egypt as it blows against the pyramids. You know, it doesn't destroy them overnight. It just chews away at them over time. And the daily grind will chew away at you. None of y'all have that problem, I guess. And God has said He'll supply that need for you to help you through the daily grind, to help you through that day-to-day living. He will give you fresh strength every day, that the day star may arise in our hearts daily, daily. Take up thy cross daily and follow me, He said. Christianity is a daily process. You say, preacher, I failed today. Well, take up the cross tomorrow. Start afresh tomorrow. You don't have to wait till January 1st to start new. You can start a diet tomorrow. I do it every Monday. I had some cake this afternoon. But you don't have to start your diet, a spiritual refresher. You don't have to start on Monday. You can start every day. I wish there was some way that we could truly comprehend that simple truth. I can start. In fact, I'm encouraged by the Bible to start over every day. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. The Lord supplies our needs, gives us a fresh strength every day, gives us grace at the time we need it. Listen, He may not. As we think about grace, I think about the Armstrongs tonight, and their words as they experience the grace of God. It's not that God gives us an exorbitant amount of grace every day, He gives it when we need it. I'm thankful I can look back at my life, and when I had that need spiritually and when I had that need relationally, God supplied that need for me in a major way. The loss of loved ones and loss of jobs, and that when I have that emotional, God gives us grace just when we need it. There's a song, but I won't sing it. Here comes Jesus' grace again, just about the time I need it, makes me feel so very ill. To think how I mistreat it. And every time I think I find, you know what, Miss Block? I'll back my journeys in. Anyway, I'm done with that song. That's a good one. It's old Flanagan song. But He gives us grace just the time we need it. There was a preacher who heard Brother Flanagan sing that song. And he asked my dad, he said, did he just say, here comes Jesus with his trash again? Trash can? I don't know. I don't know how he got that out of there, but grace again. Here comes Jesus with grace again, just the time I need it. There's a song I forget, I think it was the Relations Quartet that was here one time, or one of the groups that came through sang a song. It was a great song called Grace One More Time. God gives us grace one more time. Every time we need it, God gives us the grace. God has promised to supply all of our needs. And at the time you need God's grace, you need God's comfort, you need God's strength, you need God's power, God will supply that in that hour. We'll say, preacher, it didn't happen today. I'm telling you, He'll come when you need it. God supplies all of our needs. He supplies our need to help us to do right. And I like this. It says, help us to do the right thing at the right time, in the right spirit, and in the right manner. I'm glad God gives us strength to live and do right. By the way, Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. And God, if He asks us to be holy, then certainly He would enable us to be holy. Enable us to be holy. Holy means separate, separate. It means to be separate from sin unto God. And we need to live separated lives. We are challenged by God to live separated lives. But not just separating from sin. That's being a Pharisee, a Sadducee. So you can be separated from sin. You can live outwardly all those things. But it's the inward that'll get you. And that's where you have to be separate from sin unto God. Holiness is not just conforming outwardly to some rules. Shocker, huh? No. It's conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And it's unto God. We must remember that. Help us to do the right thing in the right time, in the right spirit, in the right manner. Sometimes our man, we can do the right thing, but we could do it in the wrong spirit. I want to challenge you. Boy, I am really, 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 really. I've got the Supreme Court coming up here in just a month. It was, what, 5 or 6 weeks, going to make a decision or begin hearing the argument about same-sex marriage. I'm telling you, we better be in prayer. But at the same time, we need to be kind to people. We can disagree without being disagreeable. We need to stand firm for what the Bible says, but we can be kind about it. We can love people, right? But we need to pray for that decision. I can get stirred up about it. I can get mad about it. And we ought to. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Listen, we ought to be upset about what's going on in America today. But when we're talking to someone, we need to have the right spirit about ourselves. We can do the right thing, but we can do it in the wrong spirit. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. It doesn't mean we shouldn't get mad about some things. When they can tell a business, a person that owns and makes cakes and pies, that they cannot refuse to do a wedding for a couple that are in sodomy, and they're going to fine them $140,000 because they would not do it. That was just handed down this week. By the way, the bakery had already shut down their business. And the lady said, listen, we already shut down the business because we weren't going to cave to do something against our religious principles. He said, but now they want to take our house. Listen, this is not my opinion. This is fact. This is really happening. We need to stand up. We need to get angry and sin not. All that again to say, you can see my face, I can get in the right spirit. Can you keep the right spirit about it? Amen. In other words, be a gentle man. Be kind and gracious. Ooh, it's tough. God will supply all of our needs. All of our needs. Our needs during times of suffering, He'll supply that grace. Our need in time of forgiveness. One of the hardest things to do is forgive somebody. And when you are in need of forgiving someone, God will give you the grace to do it. I'm just telling you, He'll supply every need you have. All your needs. Your emotional needs. Your relational needs. Your spiritual needs. Your temporal needs. Your physical needs. I'm glad He supplies food for us to eat. He supplies our clothes. He supplies the jobs that we have. He supplies the homes we live in. And God will take care of you because He's promised to do so. By the way, I use this verse too to back up a belief and a principle about missions. We do not, as a church, support missionaries whose primary goal is to feed someone or to drill some water wells for someone in some country. We are not going to do that. Now, if they do that as a byproduct of winning people to Jesus, hallelujah. But we're not going to support missionaries like we don't support, I get the question a lot, manna. We don't support manna worldwide. I even know the guy who runs it. That's fine. But they win people to Jesus. But we're not going to make our primary goal to feed people. You know why? Because God says if you get them saved, then they come under the promise. It's one of those fishing principles, right? You get them saved, then God is obligated. So you can't obligate God. No, he obligated himself to supply their need. To supply. Now, he may use us to supply that need, and he may use Heritage Baptist Church to drill a water well, but our primary focus, our primary goal is to win people to Jesus. Salvation Army's primary goal used to be to win people to Jesus. Then they started delving into all the other stuff. Now they're nothing but a social organization. Red Cross the same way. And you can read William Booth's biography and you can see towards the end of his life how it began to slip. He let it slip, even towards the end of his life. Salvation Army. That's why it was called the Salvation Army. We never want our church for that to happen. God said he'd supply the need. Teenagers, some of you that are fixing to graduate and go off to college, God will supply that need for the tuition. He said he would. That doesn't mean you can stay at home and eat bonbons and think everything's going to be all right. Well, or Twinkies. What's up, Victor? Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But God has promised to supply all of our needs, every need we have. Christ will supply all of our needs. He is our great. By the way, he's my God. My God shall supply all of our needs. This is the same. This is Paul's God who saw the light. This is Abraham's God who provided the ram, right? God provided the ram for Abraham. This is Elijah's God who provided the raven to bring him meat. This is our God, the same God. The same God who lives today, lived in Moses' day, who parted the Red Sea, who brought water out of the rock, who defeated Pharaoh's army. That's the God we serve. And if he can supply for the nation of Israel for over 1 million people in the desert, he can supply my little piddly need. I'm talking about that physical need. The same Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago lives today, who healed the blind and the sick and the maimed. He still works today. The same God who lived in D.L. Moody's day works today. I don't believe at all that the world can't have revival. I believe the world can have revival today. In fact, the hope for America is revival, not politicians. Hope for America is a turning to Christ and turning to the Lord. By the way, the supply is great. He said he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That's great resources, by the way, because he owns everything. My bank account can go zero. God's bank account, never. In fact, God can give to us and his bank account doesn't even, in other words, it never gets less. Does that make sense? God can give to us and he has no less than what he started with when he gave it to us. Because his stuff is eternal. Ours is not. Go home and think about that for a minute. We give away, we have less. God gives away, he has the same. Man, that wouldn't even be in my notes. But y'all remember us studying that on Wednesday night, don't you? That Wednesday night, I enjoyed that Wednesday night study. God is a great God, a big God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the hills. He owns everything. And surely, surely he'll take care of you. Because he's promised to. God supplies all of our needs. Who? Where? How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we are to reach the goal of being like Christ, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. By the way, we are our number one enemy. The flesh is the number one enemy. Not the world, not the devil. We are the number one enemy. We need to remember that. Pressing towards a goal, pressing toward the Lord Jesus Christ, is the goal of every Christian and will bring about joy in the Christian life and happiness too. How do we do that? Others. Putting others in front of ourselves. Our children, our spouses, our next door neighbors, our community, and the world. Christ did. Christ did. He gave His all for us. In fact, I did not get to say that this morning. I skipped over some of my notes. How far, we talk about the depths of God's love, how far did Christ go? He went all the way. I've been some places where I've dropped a quarter or dropped a rock down a hole, and you listen for a while, and you never hear it hit the bottom. You go, man, that's a deep hole. How deep did Jesus go for us? All the way. I don't know where the bottom is, because God's love, there is no bottom. It just continues forever. God loves you. God has promised to supply every need you have. If we will take the principle that doing for others brings God's blessing, it'll revolutionize your life. We experience, and I know I use that simple example, but we use that simple example when you give at Christmas. Now, when you're younger, this really doesn't apply a whole lot, but as parents, when you get to that place where you're giving to your children, or as grandparents, you're giving to your grandkids, and you're kind of at that place where nobody can give you a good gift because you have everything that you want, I'm there. My wife tries to buy for me. I'm like, it's all right. Thank you. Whatever. Right? I've got, the gift card thing works good, by the way. That's the way to go. But if you're trying to buy some, you know what I'm saying? I just don't need anything. It's awesome to give. It really is. And I'm giving, not expecting anything in return, because I don't need anything. And so it's amazing. And amazing, not just the feeling you get, but the satisfaction you get from that. It's amazing. By the way, you can experience that every day by doing for someone else. Husbands, do for your wife. Wives, do for your husbands. Expend yourself for your children, for your grandchildren. It's amazing what it'll do for you. Knock on a door. Tell somebody about Jesus. It'll be amazing what it does for you. It is. I had one of our men came to my office this week. He said, "Preacher, got to lead a man to the Lord at work. First person he's ever led to Christ. And he was on cloud 7. I mean, he was way up there. Cloud 9. 7's a little below cloud 9. He was on cloud 9. I mean, he was just, it was bubbling up in him. He couldn't, it was awesome. I'm telling you, the first time you lead somebody to Christ, it is that way. It's amazing. And can I tell you, every time you lead somebody to Christ, it's that way. The joy for doing for someone else. God says, if you'll take care of others, God will take care of you. Let's be imitators of Christ. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would enable us to be imitators of Christ, to live for Him. And let's do it every day, not just on Sunday. Let's do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and let others see Christ in us. Let others see the hope that's in us. The Bible says they'll glorify God for it. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 160, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look full in His glorious face. Lord, we thank You again for Your love for us. Lord, we just... seems of late as we preach that it just continues to come up front, and I appreciate the theme, and Lord, this love serves. Help us. Lord, as Christians to live every day, understanding and knowing that we need you, humbling ourselves before you, asking for your grace and your power to live the selfless Christian life. Lord, thank you that you promised to supply our needs. Lord, we'll give you the praise for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 160, turn your eyes.